This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, our flagship. And in Richmond for the next 3 hours on AM 910 and FM 105.1. We're Grant and Danny. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app wherever you are coast to coast. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page in high definition. The football team has a very bright future. It's time for you to plan yours as well. Our exclusive sponsor will help. That's the law firm Kondorian Murat. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We've got tickets you can win today right here on Grant and Danny and all week long at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz to see Iron Maiden. So if you want those tickets, you better be listening in 1 hour. But right now, let's go to the hotline. Welcome onto the show, Chris Rodriguez, who broke out yesterday in his first real opportunity this season. He balled for Washington, 11 attempts, 52 yards, thumped on the ground in the second half as the Commanders put the game on ice in a 27-22 win over the Giants. Chris, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks for the time, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're great, buddy. Congrats. Great game yesterday, man. When did you find out that it was going to be your turn to be up and about your role?
Yeah, so it was Saturday. I'm pretty sure Coach, before we left, he was like, hey, like, there was a slight chance that B-Rob might not play, but, you know, we're not really sure, but it's looking like he's going to play. So, you know, we're just going to activate you, and, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. So when we got to the actual stadium, you know, I got there and prepared like I was going to play. And then 90 minutes before the game, Coach came up to me and was like, hey, like, you're going, so be ready. And I was like, yes, sir, I'll be ready.
There's still a big difference between playing and being up and leading the team in rushes. You tied with Eckler, who we have on the show tomorrow at 5 o'clock. You know, you guys both got 11 carries. You led the team with 52 yards. Like, by the end of the game, you had become the Robinson. You were the battering ram, the thumper. How did it evolve that way, or did you kind of know that was going to be the role?
No, so I didn't know. You know, coming out of halftime, I planned on taking a huge chunk of special teams reps off of Jeremy. But Coach told me, he was like, hey, like, we're going to put you in, like, expect to get in earlier, you know, in the second half. So I got in, made a couple plays, and, you know, DQ came over to us and was like, hey, just, you know, let him eat. So, you know, it kind of just all fell in my favor. I mean, you know, I'm extremely grateful for it.
What does that mean when the head coach walks over? Does that move where he kind of half rips the headset off? You know, because I don't want to listen to anybody else, and says to the group about you, please let Chris Rodriguez eat. Like, what does that mean?
Man, honestly, it means a lot. You know, for him to even have the trust and, you know, belief in me to even, you know, activate me, the games that they did activate me. Man, I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's a great feeling coming, especially, you know, getting bumped off. Getting bumped up off a practice squad, man, it feels good. You know, that's why he preaches brotherhood to us. And I had no doubt in my mind when I got on that field that I would go out there and play free because of, you know, not only the running backs, but the rest of the team. You know, they're like, hey, are you going to be up? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, let's go, man. We trust in you. We believe in you. You know, going out there, man, it made everything a lot easier, I will say.
Chris Rodriguez, second year back out of Kentucky, was drafted in the sixth round last year. Look, it's not easy in the league for anybody, but especially when you're a late round pick. But you're fighting to make the team in training camp. You end up on the practice squad. And now you're looking at the roles as they develop, and you've got Robinson, who's on pace for a career year. Eckler's been amazing. Then McNichols, who we didn't know a whole lot about, gets his number called, and he was great. How did you keep from getting down on the fact that you'd become kind of RB4 in the building? They didn't choose you, right? The last regime did. A lot of the other guys that were drafted are already gone. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't seem to let that faze you or bother you, but maybe there was some of that that you had to fight. You tell me.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back on, you know, my career, when I was in high school, I wasn't the RB1 when I first got there. Ended up breaking records the 3 years that I did start. I got to Kentucky. I didn't start my first year. Second and third year, you know, I was the third string running back, but, you know, I've never let it faze me because it always gave me that edge. It always gave me that chip on my shoulder that I had something to prove. You know, when DQ and, you know, everybody came in this year, you know, I knew it was going to be a battle, and he told us that. He was like, you know, like, this is going to be a competitive summer for everybody, and I just want you guys to know. And, you know, I took it that way. And, you know, when they did make the cuts and, you know, they said that, hey, like, we're going to put you on practice squad, you know, I didn't let it faze me because I knew that regardless of what happened, I was going to get my opportunity. And when I did get that opportunity, I was going to make the most out of it.
Chris Rodriguez with us here on G&D. My favorite play of yours yesterday was not a run. It's a third and one in the second half. I'm thinking about 3:40 to go. New York Giants territory. You probably know the play I'm talking about. It's a 12-yard pass to Ben Sinnott. There's a good pass rusher that's coming free until he's not, because 23 meets him. And Jaden Daniels steps into the throw. We march on down. We get a new set of downs. You picked up Ryan Burns. I think that's who it was coming off the edge right there. Walk me through that play. What's going through your mind? What's your key? What's your read? And is right before you hit him, is there a moment of, here we go? like what's going through your head there?
No, so actually that was, you know, one of the plays that I didn't get a whole lot of reps at, but Coach Lynn always tells us, you know, like, if you're in this league and you need reps, you know, you don't belong here. You should be getting the mental reps. They should help you. So a big shout out to Austin. You know, I see him perfecting his crafts on the cuts and everything. And on that play, it's specifically drawn up for that to happen. It's for us to be cutting the D in, getting his hands down so Jaden can complete the throw. And honestly, I didn't know and honestly really care who was out there. But I had to do a job, and my job was to get that defender's hands down. And that's what I did.
Yeah, it made it look smooth, too. No doubt about that. Chris Rodriguez on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So for you, when you yesterday have the performance that you do, I mean, what does it feel like afterwards? It's one thing to be a part of this organization. Everybody matters, practice squad, giving guys looks during the week. But then to be really one of the leaders in the second half and putting the game away, how'd that feel after the game for you as the guys got to 7-2?
Man, honestly, it feels good to be a part of it. But again, you know, it's a 24-hour rule, and the next game's here, and it's time to prepare for that. And as far as, like, you know, getting the guys ready in P-Squad, DQ does not like that word. He does not like the practice squad words. We're all one big team, and we all help each other get better.
Interesting. So what is he – I mean, is he just – what does he refer to you guys as?
We're the team. It's all a team. It's all a brotherhood.
So, like, but does he say scout team or anything like that, or no?
Nah, not really.
I like that, kind of. That's cool. So it's just he views the team. I mean, a lot of – you've seen that narrative before where it's like, oh, we're not 53 – you know, we're 75 or, you know, 60, you know, whatever, however there are in the building at that moment.
Yeah.
But you're saying he kind of lives that out with even his vernacular.
Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure, one of the strength coaches, you know, the guys who you know, aren't playing, and or they usually work out on Saturday. And, you know, strength coach went up to DQ, was like, hey, the practice squad, we're going to lift early. And he was like, hey, don't call them that. They're not the practice squad. We're all a big team.
Love that.
And then he said after that, he'll never say it again.
Wow.
I love that. You learn your lesson that way, right? Hey, coach said something.
I was going to ask, why do you guys love Dan Quinn so much? But that's probably a good start. But why do you find him be so popular? I mean, just watching some of the videos that came out of the locker room last night, I mean, it just seems like, you know, you guys adore him.
Man, it's hard not to. He's a special coach, you know, as far as keeping us healthy and knowing what we need to be a better team. It's not all about the physical aspect of the game, but more of the mental. So he knows if some people or even the team is struggling in the mental aspect, he kind of, you know, cuts back the physical part. And like, hey, like, just walk through this, but be intentional about the walkthrough or anything. And he gives us that extra time to work on, you know, like the stuff we need, the things we need to work on. We got 5 minutes before and after practice to work on those things. And then he's also just an easy guy to talk to. There's no day that goes by where it's like, oh, like, should I say what's up? Nah, DQ, he'll come and sit by you if he sees you sitting alone or anything. He's really like one of a kind coach.
Chris, going to Cliff Kingsbury's offense, this running game has been unbelievable this year. Everybody that's carried the rock, yourself included yesterday, has been effective all in different spots. It's been really, really neat to see. What makes that run game so good?
Our O-line. I'll just tell you, like, it's we can sit back there and, you know, take the praise and all the glory, but at the end of the day, we got Biades, Nick, all those boys up front who, you know, are making the right calls and actually doing what we see at practice, blocking it how we block it at practice, and it makes it a lot easier going into the games. So just them, and we have a bunch of different ways we can run different types of runs. There's plenty of different ways. You'll get one look and you'll think it's something else, and next thing you know, it's 20-yard gash. So,
well, Chris, what a performance, man! It's why we love sports. It's why I think the NFL is the best. You know, we haven't heard your name for much of the season after you were kind of a rising star last year. You finally get your opportunity.
Very cool, man.
And by the end of the game, here you are, literally, figuratively carrying the offense down the stretch. Congrats to you. Hopefully you enjoy it. And we can't wait for Sunday and the Steelers game. It's going to be good.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
Chris Rodriguez. Last year out of Kentucky, people forget. I mean, he was one of the draft picks, actually, of the Rivera era that looked like a hit. Now, I think he probably has a place as a change of pace thumper more than a, you know, featured back getting 17, 18 carries a game. But he's fourth in the building. And that's what they've done. They've created competition. They've slid guys down the depth chart. They've kept guys hungry because you go get Eckler. You all of a sudden say, I'm not going to just give him opportunities to do it. He's going to have to earn them.
And for so many years, you hear next man up, and it's just words that people say. It's almost like an involuntary response where someone's hurt, next man up. Oh, okay, I'll get right on that, the next man up, and it's not as good. Well, that was, you know what I mean? That really is what that level of buy-in, that level of commitment. One of the hardest things to do as a coach or people that's in charge of somebody is takes the folks that are on the edges, that are on the extremes, and basically say, you're as much a part of this as our focal point. Like, Jaden Daniels is more important than everyone else in that building, but you don't have to give away the game and let the I guess we're not allowed to call it the practice squad. We can, you and me on the outside. Let the last, you know, backup center on the practice squad think that he doesn't matter. And coming to work every day, you've got to get people to that level of buy-in, and he's been able to do that. That's incredible.
By the way, I love that.
I love that, man.
So I think a lot of coaches play that narrative or game a little bit where they go, oh, we don't really have a practice squad. Everybody here is somebody. Everybody here is on the team. Well, you could be on the team and be on the practice squad, right? But if you live it that way where he even told a staffer, that's different than just in a press conference saying, we don't call it our practice squad. The anecdote that Rodriguez used was one of the guys on the training staff refer to them as the practice squad, and Quinn, in front of, it sounds like, enough people that Rodriguez heard it, called him out and said, uh-uh, that's not what we call them around here. Like, that is pretty legit. That's putting your, you know, speech to practice in a lot of ways.
Legendary high school coach who's, you know, passed away a few years ago, but Bob Brown in the DC area, coached at St. Albans and a number of places. He and I butted heads a bunch, but I remember I had this new level of respect for him. I'll never forget this. And this is what Chris was talking about a second ago, reminded me of that. I remember one day after practice, I'd like forgotten something and went back into the gym, and he was sitting there by himself working with a junior who was playing JV basketball. Like working him out and running him through every motion like he was, you know, a starter on varsity. And I'm like, that's quite frankly, and probably in the moment, a waste of his time. This guy's never going to be a starter on varsity. He's probably never going to come off the bench. He'll probably never play here at any point in time. And here he is when nobody's watching, working with a junior on JV that was like okay at that point. And I was blown away by that. And that's what it reminds me of, right? Where you're really trying to build something. You can't just chatter about it. You can't do it at the podium once a week and think that you've done it. That culture building, it really takes that kind of thing that you're talking about right there. That was cool to hear.
Yeah, it was a good insight from him on Dan Quinn and why they love the guy so much too. He said, hey, you're sitting there by yourself being quiet. He's going to come up and check on you and make sure everything's okay. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I want to look at the two teams in the division outside of the Washington Giants matchup. Yesterday, the Eagles win a squeaker, almost had a epic meltdown and collapse against Jacksonville. Also, the Cowboys are completely dead in the water now. They had another bad performance against the Falcons, got shredded by Atlanta, and Dak Prescott's out for several weeks. So you can put a fork in them, it would appear. That's next, right here on The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Commanders are 7-2. The trade deadline is tomorrow. I will tell you that we'll have excellent trade deadline coverage for you here on The Fan and on Grant and Danny leading up to tomorrow's deadline. There's nothing else going on tomorrow, luckily, in the country. So there's no reason to navigate away from 106.7 The Fan and Grant and Danny. There's certainly not anything happening in the country that is of interest to anybody else other than the NFL trade deadline.
Is it the NFL trade deadline? Yes. There's your focus.
Yes.
There it is. Yeah, that's it.
Then be here.
Yep.
But we will keep you abreast of what they do or don't do. I don't think they're going to be aggressive or do anything splashy. I think they'll make a small move or two. I do. I think there will be something. It could come down the pike today or tonight. It certainly could happen before we go on tomorrow or ahead of the deadline while we're live. I got to tell you, though, I am in the camp that I do think that they should be pretty aggressive and maybe make a splash, do a cannonball, jump into the deep end. This team is really damn good. I don't know how we got here. I don't know what led to this or why, but the stars are aligning, and they've got a really, really good building, a culture. The guys are buying into the brotherhood thing. They love their head coach. This quarterback is playing at an elite level, and it has been special. I don't think you can just look at these seasons as the first of many like it. Don't worry, there'll be a bunch. Probably. I mean, we're trending
could be,
in a good direction. But there's also this season right now where the Cowboys are cooked. You can turn off the burners. They are done. They are spent. They are burnt. We'll get to them in a second. The Eagles almost collapsed and lost to the Jaguars.
They tried.
Which we should talk about in a minute, too. But you're better than Philly right now. You're the best team in the NFC East. You're the best team in the division. In the conference, the Lions are better than you. Nobody else is ahead of you in the standings, and nobody else is better than you right now. Maybe the Vikings, maybe, because Brian Flores' defense is really good. But Sam Darnold had a couple of awful turnovers yesterday. It's happening at a very slow snail's pace, but he's starting to make more mistakes.
He's doing the Sam Darnold regression.
There's a little creakiness there to the Vikings, right? But look at the playoff picture right now. If the season ended today, Washington would be hosting a home playoff game with the 6-3, 7th-seeded Green Bay Packers. And that would be a really tough game. It'd be a pick'em game. The Packers won a playoff game last year. They blew out Dallas in Dallas. Be that matchup, yep. Right? Jordan Love is leading the league in interceptions, though. There's a great chance you win that game, but you're certainly not scared of Green Bay, are you?
No. And so you look at Atlanta at 6-3. Atlanta's pretty good. Not great.
Washington's better.
Yeah, I think Washington's better.
The Falcons' defense stinks. They're not good.
I think that's the summary, right? I mean, so there's nobody outside of Detroit. I think Detroit is maybe the class of the NFL right now, just the way they're playing. Defensively, I don't know if they've got enough. We'll see, TBD, but they were pretty impressive yesterday, I'll say.
Let's play the Harbaugh game. Who's got it better than us, okay? Right now, this moment. This is the Harbaugh game on Grant and Danny.
Harbaugh game.
Who's got it better than us? Detroit?
Yeah.
That's one team that's better in the NFC. Would you trade, and I don't mean long term, okay, because Daniels is a rookie. Mm-hmm. I just mean for the remainder of this season, chance to win a Super Bowl. Would you trade Washington with Atlanta?
No, I'm keeping Washington. Yeah.
I am too. Definitely not. Washington with Arizona?
No.
Definitely not. By the way, you bludgeoned them a handful of weeks ago. Washington with
Minnesota.
That
win looks better now, by the way.
Washington with Minnesota.
No, I'm staying Washington.
They got Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, they do.
They got now, Brian Flores.
Washington can't stop them. I mean, Sam Darnold will have a great day. Justin Jefferson might go for 277. But Washington can play with them. To me, Philadelphia and Washington are closer to eyeball. But still, I'm not necessarily going to swap it wholesale.
But you would not trade the Commanders' chance to win this year with the Eagles.
No. Even though the odds makers seem to think it's the other way around.
The standings right now show Washington as the number two team in the NFC, mm-hmm. And you agree with that.
Yeah.
Think about what you're saying, by the
way. I know, right? What world is this? What planet?
I was walking outside in the Navy Yard, right outside the building, about an hour and a half before the show today. And a guy who works in our building, I see him in the lobby all the time, was walking up to me and stopped me, and he goes, "How many wins do you think the Commanders will have this year?" And I thought about it, and I go, "I'll say 12. And he said, 12. And I said, "Yeah, that."
Yeah.
He goes, "So you've got them going," and he's doing the math in his head. He goes, 5-3. I said, "Yeah, I think that's about right." He goes, "Only 12. And then he goes, "Me and my colleague were sitting 13 or 14. I just thought that was a hilarious interaction.
Everything about that's hilarious.
So I started at 11, which they haven't had since I was 3 years old. And I was like, 11 wins means that they go 4-4 the rest of the way. With what I perceive, and I've been beating this drum for a while, to be a very soft schedule. By the way, the Cowboys game, that was going to be really tough, and maybe it still is because it's Dallas. Dak Prescott's not playing in that game anymore, we found out today. Mm-hmm. He's out for several weeks.
Yep.
So you've got the Steelers and the Eagles, which will be the ultimate tell as to where you are, what you are, whether you're winning the division or not. I mean, you won't have one.
Like, if you split those in one way or the other, now you're just the math works in your favor, right?
Well, if you split those, like, you're a playoff team, obviously. Right?
Well, sure. Yeah, I'm talking beyond that, yeah.
But it depends how you split it. If you beat the Eagles, you are very likely a division-winning team. Like, we have to assume that until something else happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my point is, for this guy and his buddy at work to be saying 12 or 13 wins, I kind of get it. The Steelers game and the two Eagles games are pretty difficult. I'll give you the Falcons game, although there's a really good chance, the way the South is going, that they'll have already wrapped up the division when you play them in the penultimate week of the season. The Cowboys game in the final weekend is going to mean nothing for Dallas, probably. New Orleans just fired their coach. That looked like a tough game on your schedule. It's not anymore. The Titans are coming to the X on December 1st. They're terrible. There's nothing scary about this schedule. They should absolutely go 5-3 or 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's get through the next 2 weeks and see where we are. Because if they go 0-2 to Pittsburgh and Philly, they're still 7-4. Now they're starting to look wild cardy. Now you probably don't look like the NFC East champion. You look more like you're going to get in the wild card and you're going to travel to a road game in the playoffs, which is fine. But it's hard to go 7-2 and not make the playoffs. And it's really, really hard to do it with this schedule they got left.
Indeed. So if you take care of the pars, the easy ones, even if you build in some kind of a split with Dallas, you still are easily into double-digit wins. You're still easily in that 11-win, 12-win range. that tells you something. They've done a lot of the work. And listen, you got away with one against Chicago, probably with the Hail Mary, even though you were better for most of that game. But still, they kind of snatched it away from you until you snatched it back. You need some fortuitous things where, again, I keep talking about it, no tip passes for interceptions, no fumbles lost, it seems like. The hustle plays of Olamide Zaccheaus and Nick Allegretti, if they don't go your way, maybe you don't win those games. Things like that. You've been incredibly fortunate. So is every team that's up there at the top, right? I mean, that's the nature of it. The Chiefs play nothing but one-score games, it seems like, and they're 7-0. Sometimes one-score games go for the other team. Hasn't happened to them yet. It probably will. So there'll be some regression, some normal things. But when you get to that point where if you were just okay the rest of the way, you're in a really good spot, that's what they've earned. And that's the beauty of getting off to that kind of start, where it's not a start anymore. It's half a season.
So if the guy that came up to me out on the street and asked me, hey, what's your opinion on how many games they're going to win this year? If he did that to you, what would you have said?
I would say 11. Just, again, I'm going, bad luck's going to happen. So, but, like, something's going to happen where you go, oh, man, they shouldn't have lost that
game.
So
you're just basing that on the fact that, like, you're expecting a natural regression because they can't possibly be this good. Not based on how they've played, necessarily.
Right. To me, it's two distinct things. I think you can be as good as they are. I'm now in the, this is a very good team camp, and still drop a game, see last week against Chicago.
Of course.
You can be good and go, damn, I can't believe they
but
lost.
But Chicago's better than most of the teams they have left on the
absolutely.
Schedule.
Absolutely. My point is that, you
so
know.
Let's go 4-4 here.
Mm-hmm.
You think they split the Eagles and the Steelers, probably.
Yep.
That's 1-1. Then you've got them playing Cooper Rush in Dallas. That's a win.
Yes.
2-1. Then they play the Titans, 3-1. Then they play a Saints team that just fired their coach and is a lost cause. You've got them losing that game, I guess.
On paper now, yeah. No, excuse me. They've got to beat the Saints. Yeah.
Okay, then they have to lose their final three to get to 11 wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to do
By
it
the way,
now.
This is crazy to think about.
Totally.
Like, but I'm just saying, right now, this moment, if you're picking the games, you've got them right now at 4-1.
Yeah, then maybe.
So then.
So that's one way it could go. Maybe they could lose these next two and still be a good team and be 7-4, then win one of their last three and end up with 11 wins. My point is, like, this charmed ride thing. There's too many variables, too many difficult things to say this is 100% sustainable. They're very good. That's sustainable. Yeah. That's real.
How much charmed ride is it and how much they're better than the teams they're playing?
Most of it is better. The other part's charmed. Like, again, they're better than Chicago. Chicago has that game dead to rights and wins it 1,000 times out of 1,001.
I hate, no. They whooped the Bears' ass for 3.5 quarters.
I was there. I wasn't there, but I saw
you went?
It. No, I would never go.
You should have told me, Rouillet.
No, I'll never go again. They should never be have a stadium there.
They were the better team the entire time.
I know.
They almost lost, but
this is. That's my case. That's my point.
I understand, but you can't just chalk that up as like they should have lost and won on a Hail Mary.
I'm not chalking it up. I'm saying that sort of things happens, and then the miracle doesn't go your way. It took a miracle. They were better. They're better than the Bears. I know that in my heart. I know that with my eyes. I saw it. You're better than a team, and you still probably end up with a loss sometimes because that's how this post-forward goes.
It's football.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's the charmed life part, where they're better than Dallas. They're better than Tennessee, New Orleans, Philadelphia, better than Atlanta, but better than pretty much every team on their schedule, I think, except for Philadelphia, where that you would say they're distinctly better.
Maybe not Pittsburgh.
Maybe not Pittsburgh as well. But my point is, you could be better than those teams and not have that break. That fumble that you've recovered in every game doesn't go your way. The spot doesn't work out for Austin Ekeler on 4th-and-1. My point is, the sport happens. They've gotten every break to this point, and they're really good. So now you're in a really good spot. That's all.
So back to my original point, though,
mm-hmm.
I do think they should be trying to add for the conversation that we're having. We're debating. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I think some things will go bad and they'll lose some games they shouldn't and be 11-6.
Yeah, 11-6.
And I'm going, yeah, I think they're just going to handle their business for the most part. They'll lose three games, they'll win five mm-hmm. in an easy schedule, and they'll go 12-5. And if you're a 11 or 12 win team, this is not some 9-win squeaker
That's
into
right.
the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you try to give yourself a chance to go on the run? Ask Mike Elias of the Baltimore Orioles mm-hmm. if he regrets a little bit the last couple of years not trying to be a little bit more aggressive.
Give him a little bit of truth serum.
Pushing the chips in just mm-hmm. a little bit rather than going, we've got a window that's just starting to open. You cannot look these gift horses in the mouth, in my opinion, which is different than saying they should go all in. That is not my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Shane, who's in Virginia on Grant and Danny. What's up, Shane? Shane, what's up?
Shane.
Yes, another point. So the trade deadline is tomorrow. If we need to beat the Eagles in either one of these games we have coming up, we have to get a cornerback. We don't need a lineman. We have to get a cornerback if we need to compete with Eagles and beat the Eagles to win the division. We have to get a cornerback. A cornerback is our main issue right now.
I agree. I will also say that if A.J. Brown just keeps getting hurt, you might not need a cornerback as much. I mean, yesterday they were throwing the ball to Devontae Smith and an actual nice catch, 36 yards, by old friend Jahan Dotson. Hey. Doubled his season output for Philadelphia.
That's a huge output there.
Yeah. Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. Danny, at that time, we are giving away tickets to see Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden ticks. I love it.
You're listening to The Fan. G&D on The Fan, welcoming you back. Our double play every day at this time is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. We're giving away tickets to Iron Maiden at CFG Bank Arena. We will be doing that coming up in about 15 minutes right here on The Fan. So make sure you're listening at that time if you want those Iron Maiden tickets.
So my kids like listening to their dad sometimes on the radio when they're in the car. Well, the times when I'm not in the car, they'll sometimes, you know, want to hear like certain songs on Spotify or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the things that happens lately is my youngest son, who cannot remember the names of any artist, any song, any tune, any part of it. Well, like, can you play that song? And we're sitting there going, what song, buddy? You know, let us know. What do you want? Like, is it a man singing? Is it a woman singing? Is it rapping? Is it loud? Is it soft? Is it slow? And he'll just say, I don't know. There's a picture, because he'll see the picture that comes up on the phone or whatever, of somebody, of like album art or a logo or something like that. So yesterday, the entire day, he's trying to remember and get us to remember a song. And he's getting so angry at us, so frustrated with us, when I'm like, is it fast? He goes, I don't know. Is it slow? I don't know. Is it a man singing? I don't know. Is he singing at all? Is he talking? I don't know. Does it have a guitar? I don't know. Does it have drums? I don't know. Nothing. And he's mad that I can't help him figure out what the song is. After, I'm not kidding you, close to 9 hours of on and off discussion, he comes back and goes, Dad, I found it. And he rolls in with his mom's phone, playing Springsteen by Eric Church. This is the song? First of all, how did you hear that? You listen to songs called, like, Crazy Frog and, you know, like, weird, like, techno remixes of the Beverly Hills Cop theme. Like, how did you come across Eric Church Springsteen? And how is that the song that you've wanted to hear for 24 hours? It was the most maddening and yet rewarding end when we somehow figured out that's what we wanted to hear, and we listened to it 5 or 6 times, and I'll never forget it. Eric Church, Springsteen, it feels like a national is about to come to bat. That's my story for you.
Wow. How about that story? It is time for my double play. I will stick with the kid theme and tell you that yesterday we got a total of, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 plays watched between the two kids. They don't really enjoy the watching of the football. They're still too young. My daughter's 5. My boy is 3. But they like to dress up. My daughter gets in her Commanders, you know, cheerleading costume or outfit, whatever you want to call it. My son gets in his Jaden Daniels jersey. He was rocking all burgundy yesterday. But he comes home yesterday. I had to work in the morning to a show. So they come home from church. He comes sprinting down the steps. I'm just getting off the air. And he goes, Dad, is today football day?
Mm.
And I said, today's football day. He comes. We've never done this, so I don't know where he had this idea, but it's like straight out of my mom's playbook. Something my mom would do, definitely, when we were, you know, watching games at her place. He goes and runs into the other room, and he brings out this little, almost like a, I don't know, like a throw blanket, but something you would just have on the couch unless it's a little chilly, you know? And it's a football blanket. It's got a football and, like, football field on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts spreading it over the coffee table in the basement. And I said, what are you doing, bud? He goes, we have to get ready. And I said, what are we going to do? He goes running upstairs. He comes back down with a Coke Zero, puts it on the thing. After he's, you know, it's like a tablecloth now.
Okay.
He sets it down. He goes, I'm going to go get you some Tippies and Dippy. Coke Zero.
Oh, my God.
On the table. Now, he wanted a little bit of everything. This wasn't like.
Sure, there was a tax.
He wasn't just being a waiter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He enjoys, I think, also having the things. But at that point, I'm like, oh, we don't have any chips or dip yet. You know, we're going to have to go get those. And so mom went to the store and. Allison goes, all right, what do we want for the game? And I said, and we obviously, chips and dip is a clear Sure. That's a given.
Yeah, tippies and dippies.
She's like, what do we want for lunch? And I'm like, I'm up for whatever. I don't really have anything. And Truman goes, I think Dad wants wings. And Allison's like, all right, wings and tippies and dippies for the game. And Noom said, it's football day. He is in. He gets it. He knows
good,
the
that's
ways.
Amazing. But they're trained at this stage.
3 years old.
Because she thinks like, okay.
He'll be four in December, but he is locked all the way in.
But is your wife kind of like, you trained our child to do this? Like, this is how you spent your time?
I think she's pretty proud of him, honestly. He's wearing football. She's a big fan.
Yeah,
she likes the football Sundays, too. I feel bad for her because she gets to enjoy them way less. Because someone's got to be the grown-up. And I'm sitting there watching and charting and trying to keep notes and everything. And they're, for the most part, running around and staying down with me. But my rule is no yelling, no crying. Like, if you're doing those things, you got to go upstairs with mom. So she doesn't get to have as much fun anymore. But, yeah, just the hilarity of, to me, he runs upstairs, gets me a glass with ice and a cold, Coke Zero.
A Toke Zero.
Brings it down. Here's your Toke. And tippies. Mom's going to get tippies and dippies.
That's phenomenal.
Hilarious.
That is phenomenal.
I said this before, this sounds like dramatic and way over the top, but I think anyone who's my age and has children can relate to this, or a little older maybe even as well. The idea now that when he saw Jaden Daniels pregame on TV, and I said, there's Jaden Daniels. And he goes, is that him? And like every Commanders player, they're showing pregame. You know, it's like Ben Sinnott. I'm like, nope, not him.
Nope.
He's like, that's him. And finally, it was definitely Jaden Daniels. Yeah. And he's like, oh, that's him. I know it's him. And I'm like, you're right, bud. That's him. Didn't have his helmet on. He's like, I see him. He's like jumping up and down. He's like, Jaden Daniels. He's like running around the basement. But just the idea that it's possible that he may grow up in it. Like, what if he grew up rooting for this team when they're the Chiefs? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if he gets to experience annual postseasons,
mm-hmm.
just a perennial powerhouse, Super Bowl appearances, all the stuff I missed out on my entire life just rooting for a terrible team. It's possible now that they're just really good. My daughter walks by and she points to the New York. She's like, ooh, Dad, we're winning. I said, how do you know? She goes, because there's a zero next to NY and we're playing New York. I said, you're right.
You got it.
We have seven, they have zero.
So it's similar to how it was for my dad. Okay, so when he was a kid here in the D.C. area, they were awful. They were a punchline. They were a joke. And his dad, my grandpa, used to make fun of him. Like, well, how could you even care about this?
It's like
they're
every
awful.
Other.
Yeah.
It's like missing
and
generations.
So when I'm a kid, I'm born in 79. First time I'm like rubbing my eyes, Riggo goes off tackle for a Super Bowl, and I see stars, you know? And then they're dominant for 12 years, and I'm like hooked forever. It's in my blood, and I'm trying to get my kids involved. And I think they've watched a combined 10 plays.
So this in their is life. Actually my fear, though, yeah. is your kids don't really watch the game.
Mm-hmm. They don't care,
and that would be so heartbreaking for me if by the time they're 8, 10, whatever mm-hmm. it is, they're not watching the games. I'll probably just not care. Like, honestly, because I don't think it hurts your feelings. I don't think it bothers you at all.
No, I mean, I wish they got this part, but like convincing them to watch them be embarrassed for the millionth time was hard.
But did you work less hard at that because of how bad the team was?
Oh, totally. I mean, I did. You could make fun of me, so you didn't do everything you could. I really did. We tried to entice in every possible way just because, A,
so
they're
you
not,
made an attempt yeah. to have them watch the games even with the team being
of
bad.
Course, because here's the thing. They're not sitting in front of the computer. They're not doing Fortnite. They're not doing Roblox. I know it's not like reading. It's not as good as riding a bike outside, but it's, hey, share this thing with Dad. They couldn't care less.
I think my daughter will, especially as a, when I say young, I mean in the next 3 to 5 years, will not have a whole lot of interest, if I had to guess, in just sitting and watching the games. She likes to do a million other things, none of which is really the football or the sports. Like, her favorite thing to say, if I sit her down to watch something and she's like, I don't like baseball or I don't like hockey, it's boring.
It's boring.
Now, my son, who plays all these things with me,
mm-hmm.
will run down the steps and sit there and watch. And 2 minutes later, he'll forget and he'll, he's playing dinosaurs or does
sure,
something
of course,
else.
Yeah.
But I do think there's some hope there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to go out in the yard and throw the football. He, again, he's pretending to be Jaden Daniels or Terry McLaurin or whatever. So I think we got a shot there.
You've got a great shot. If he's doing it now, that grows.
And the tippy and dippy thing and the can of soda, like he's in on football day.
He knows what to do.
I got to imagine. I sent the pictures and the videos to my mom and I was like, this has to remind her of me when I was like 3.
Right?
There's just no way it doesn't.
Yeah, so when my youngest does, and this is amazing, and I know we got to jump, is when it's time to sit down, whether it's to watch his brother play soccer, whether it's for me to watch football, that's when he's like, can you pass with me? Can we go do something together? And it's like, I've been begging you for hours on 6.5 days per week to let's come outside. Let's do it. He's like, as soon as he knows that it's time to do something else, he's like, now, can we go outside and
it's
do
good
something?
Time to do
yeah,
it.
He's the best.
No time like the present.
Mm-hmm.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, hanging with you until 6:30. We are blitzing next on GND. We're also giving away those tickets as soon as we return to Iron Maiden right here on the Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.